you know, religion was that part of the core of the training of people. There was no, UVM was distinctive in that it said that the university was not affiliated with any particular Protestant denomination. So it was non-sectarian, but it didn't mean that we don't do any religion here. Chapel was required until 1919. So first nine presidents are congregational ministers. You know. So religion was just kind of part of the general way that all sorts of different things were taught. So when does that begin to change? It's really in the mid-50s that something approaching a secular study of religion really becomes a kind of self-conscious policy. And the way that happens is that, well, there's a bunch of different things going on. But in the post-World War II period, the university was undergoing pretty significant growth, partly because of the GI Bill, and you have all these soldiers returning, and they're all taking advantage of college. The government's paying for college. So this is a period of expansion in the university. And the university did a kind of thorough review of the curriculum in the 50s, and they began to kind of try to figure out, you know, where does the study of religion fit in all of this? So a couple of things are happening. One, there's a sense that the study of religion is important for understanding other cultures and kind of helping Americans who, you know, prior to World War II were kind of isolationist. And, you know, now in the post-World War II period, they're the big power in the world. And there's a kind of effort to try to educate people to recognize this new place they have in the larger sort of global context. So there was a decision that they should offer courses in religion. So that's part of it, is this kind of post-World War II expansion that's going on. The other thing that's happening is that prior to the mid-50s, all of the state money, the kind of public support for the University of Vermont, went to the state agricultural college. It didn't go to the university as a whole. So even though UVM was founded as a state institution, it really wasn't getting very much money. It was basically, there was some land set aside and there was some money that came from the land. But most of the support for the university was directed to the College of Agriculture. And consequently, the tuition was a lot less. And the president of UVM at that time, I think it was Borgman, came out of the Midwest, you know, where there's public support for public universities, and he said, this is crazy. So he got the state legislature to directly fund the university in the mid-50s. At that point, General Counsel's office said, the university can't sponsor religious services if they're getting direct aid from the state. So that's partly a change in funding, and then around that time, the person who had been teaching religion, who originally was in the English department, taught courses in Bible. He then had become the official university chaplain, like in 1953, 54, something like that. But then he retired. So all these things come together. He's retiring, but he's been the ordained Christian who's been teaching religion. The University Senate says, okay, we need to have a secular university. We can't support Christian, you know, religious institutions. So we need to hire somebody who's trained in the secular study of religion. That's in 1956, I think. And Sadler then is the first kind of secularly trained scholar of religion in the religion department. Prior to that, people were basically trained in philosophy, but taught courses that related to religion. But it's then at that point with Albert Sadler that what we think of as the religion department really begins. He's the first in that sequence. And then Hans Penner came, and there were some other people. And then in 1965, William Payton came. And he was chair of the department when I came here. He chaired the department for 22 years. But from the time that Sadler came here, the university had the department had a very self-conscious idea that you needed to distinguish between the practice of religion and the state religion, and it was committed to a secular model of understanding. That's really come to define the department, you know, in the time I've been here. So in one sense, we could think of the department kind of beginning in 1956.
I myself am a religious person. I'm really involved with my church up here and also my church down at home. And it's only expanded recently. I started working with the diocese on a couple of programs, and I also have started teaching Sunday school classes at my church up here. And so as the semester's gone on, actually, it's got much more involved in my religious life up here in Burlington, Chittenden County area. So that's definitely where my interest comes from. I'm interested in studying things that are important to me, because it's important to be able to understand them well, to talk about them well to others. And then in the religious studies, in a more broader context of non-faith traditions of my own, I think it's really fascinating to look at how traditions have developed and how they have kind of where they are, but also the nuances. I've sat through in high school a fair amount of religion surveys that were really kind of glossing over things, making large assumptions about people and places and contexts. And here at UVM, it's just nice to get deeper and deeper into specific traditions or ideas. I took Elise's Intro to Islam course, which was eye-opening, and just the diversity of it, and also how that religion developed, because I know my church's story relatively well, all things considered, but there's always more to learn for my own and also for other traditions. And I'm switching this next semester to more like problems or concepts, kind of. I'm taking religion, law, and discipline, and another one looking at religion and empire, which I'm excited for too. This can kind of shift my study away from specific traditions and more so into a broader how does religion work in the realm of other issues globally and locally.
I think it'd be fair to say that the official policy was the department is committed to secularity. And what that means is there's an effort to distinguish it from being committed to a particular religious worldview. What that really meant is not Christian. And, you know, it's even though in some ways the department, and this is really prior to my time, but they were committed to secularity, but this is the 60s and 70s. People are, you know, experimenting with drugs, experimenting with all sorts of alternative spiritualities and Eastern religions, and, you know, it's all about experience. You know, the dividing line between what's the practice of religion and what's the study, wasn't always so clear, as much as, say, the formal policy tried to clearly differentiate
mm-hmm.
those things. But mostly that stuff had largely, it was still probably percolating there, but nobody wanted to pay attention to it, I guess.
Are we trying to figure out what it is?
Yeah.
It's currently recording.
Because James is like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know, and I don't want to touch it.
Touch it. It may explode.
No, you touch it.
Mm. It's a nice...
You touch it.
Control.
I don't want to touch it.
That's it.
How are you? Aaron tried to throw a pen at me. Oh, assault, Aaron.
When Professor Brennan, that they're talking about stuff, it's easy to kind of say, well, you know, I think of what silence in religion is, or what, how the body makes sound in religion. I can draw immediately on my own experience, and having that experience definitely helps. And seeing it kind of, you know, from afar, as if I'm looking at a bird's eye view over, you know, how does this happen? I can say, well, you know, in church on a Sunday, you know, one of the most frequent sounds is people's knees hitting and coming up off the kneelers when they kneel for certain parts of service, or little kids running around, or when the priest, you know, beats his breast when he's doing the Kyrie and things like that. UVM, I think, is able to look at a student and say, well, you can think that, but here's also how you do then good critical study as well. When Professor Trainer and Professor Clark go to the cathedral downtown, the Episcopal Cathedral downtown, and yet she chairs the department, he's a professor of religion.
So the other thing I'll say too is that I do think that during the period of time from the mid-50s, and really this accelerated, which is to say, you know, prior to that, the university had actually been sponsoring services in the chapel, and they had a baccalaureate prayer service connected with graduation. All of that was part of the traditions. That began to change quite significantly in the 50s, and so it became more and more secular. If you go through all the college catalogs, which is what I did to look about statements about religion, you know, after a certain point, like I think the early 70s, there's no longer reference to religion. It disappears. And so some would argue it becomes a kind of almost anti-religion, because there's a sense that you just don't talk about religion. And I would say in the last 3 years, with the emergence of the Interfaith Center, that's another significant shift to kind of give people the permission to talk about religion and think about that as important to their identity.